This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Stand Up Straight. We aim to provide a vehicle for allies to stand up for the rainbow communities, facilitating change, acceptance, understanding, and dialogue. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Stand up
straight. Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
This is Michelle and Miranda. We're going to talk women. Tonight, aren't we?
Oh, I love women.
You do love women.
They're my favourite people, both as people and as lovers.
And as lovers. Ooh, tonight's show's going to take a very different direction, I'm sensing.
I'm just being a bit lewd at the top of the show.
That's good. It's a great way to start, I think. Speaking of great ways to start, the lovely lady, our newsreader, Judy Kelly, thank you very much. We had a couple of technical hiccups this afternoon just before we came on air, and Daniel Mason soldiered on. I think that's the word we would say.
They're a couple of heroes.
They are heroes, yeah. And we've been just looking out the window prior to coming on air, haven't we, Miranda? There was the Women's March.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I actually I ran down for some food just a couple of minutes ago, and I was very happy to see the start of it. There was a couple of lovely chants, not the church, not the state. The future is a woman's fate or something. Ooh. I think that was the chant.
If it's not, that's a good one. It's can adopt it.
And there was also the classic, the ever classic, hey, hey, ho, ho, homophobia's got to go. And it does.
It can be used everywhere. And yes, it does. Unplanned question. Do you get a different feel on a day like today, International Women's Day? Do you think it's overrated, underrated? How do you feel about it?
I feel like, I know I'm all for International Women's Day because there are so many things that you can do today. It's a chance for us to be introspective and to talk about what we need as women, not just to look on ourselves, but also to proclaim to the world as well. So it's just that day where you get to highlight what we need, what we've won, and where we need to go next.
And it's interesting, in doing research for tonight, I type in random things and just see what came up. And the people that, and somebody I hadn't even thought of, she was the lady that was severely burnt, Taria Pitt. Mm. And we've probably seen her a lot across the television. She was one of the marathon runners, and a 100K ultra marathon. And she was caught in a grass fire and suffered, and this is 65% of her body. Right. She's gone to be an ambassador for Interplast Australia and New Zealand, an author, a motivational speaker. She's since trekked the Great Wall of China, Inca Trek, Kokoda, completed the Ironman Women World Championship, and in 2017, Tura and her fiancé, Michael, welcomed their first child. Now, if there's ever a woman that puts me to shame, is her. And the reason I say her off, you know, at the top of the show, she's had adversity that very few could ever imagine.
Absolutely.
And she's out there being a motivational speaker. She's visible everywhere. She's been on a lot of TV shows and 60 Minutes and various things. And she's always smiling. In early years, she was covered from top to toe in one of those bandages that cover the whole body. Mm. And I think if I remember correctly, she had a half hour, an hour out of the bandage in a 24-hour period. And she's loving life. Like she says, she's embraced everything and loves her life. I just find her extraordinary.
I mean, you know, like a lot of people in that situation, you know, like you do have, it is sometimes a choice to make. Like, you know, sometimes it will get you down. Like I'm sure it sometimes depresses her. But, you know, still, like, you know, getting out there and still engaging life and she is just living her best self as best as she can moving forward.
Do you think days like this is kind of what it's about? It's about realising that, hey, I'm not alone, or there's someone else that I can aspire to be like, or, you know, as somebody I can inspire others. Do you think it's that combination of things?
I think it's all of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, recognizing your own heroism and recognizing your own ability to persevere, I think is something a lot of people have been taught to, you know, like out of some twisted spirit of humility to not acknowledge in themselves.
Why do you think we do that? Is it that sense of, I don't know, maybe I'm not worthy, or that, is it that kind of thing?
I think it's like, you know, a bit of tall poppy syndrome. Like, you know, when somebody else lifts themselves up, you know, like you try to cut them down.
Mm.
And you know, and just that idea that, you know, talking about yourself in a positive way is somehow egotistical.
Yeah. I think there's a shift, though. I think there seems to be a pride in being able to say, well, look, I am doing this now, or I have achieved this. I don't know whether, you know, there's the Me Too movement and there's a whole lot of stuff happening on a global scale, that maybe there's this shift in, maybe it's kind of giving women permission to say perhaps what they wouldn't have thought of saying out loud because they're not alone now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to talk about a whole lot of inspirational women and leaders and politicians and the girl next door. We're going to listen to some inspirational music. We got an inspirational singer. We're going to listen to a speech about. We've got heaps and heaps of stuff.
We're just going crazy
going
about women.
Crazy about women. We're crazy about women on Stand Up Straight Tonight. We would love to hear from you. Who inspires you? Is it your mum? Is it your neighbour? Is it the leader of some movement out there? Is it, who is it? We'd love to hear from you. 0427 joy 949, or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au. tell us what International Women's Day means to you. Did you not even know it existed until someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, there's lamingtons and scones in the kitchen, or something like that?
Now I'm hungry for lamingtons.
Yeah, I know. I'm having a fruit and a veggie day. It's not doing me any good. Michelle and Miranda on Stand Up Straight Tonight. Speak to you soon. I am strong.
Hello. There's a strong call to hashtag press for progress, motivating and uniting friends, colleagues and whole communities to think, act and be gender inclusive. Celebrating International Women's Day on Joy.
Julia Gillard served as Australia's first female Prime Minister from the 24th of June 2010 until the 27th of June 2013. In her time as Prime Minister, Gillard passed 543 bills, the highest rate per time in office of any Prime Minister in Australian history. This was in spite of the 2010 federal election, which ended with a hung parliament and forced Gillard to negotiate a minority government. Her time in office wasn't all fun and games, though, and her wardrobe and physical appearance were easy targets for anyone looking to make fun of her, as if the clothes she wore were any measure of her ability to run a country. Possibly the most memorable act of Gillard's time as Prime Minister, at least from a feminist perspective, was her misogyny speech aimed at Tony Abbott in Parliament. It became famous with the line, "I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. Not now, not ever."
Explore the fun side of feminism. Tune into 21st Century Women Monday nights at 9 p.m. and via podcast at joy.org.au.
Celebrating International Women's Day on Joy. Ever, there's a strong call to action to press forward and progress gender parity. There's a strong call to hashtag press for progress, motivating and uniting friends, colleagues and whole communities to think, act and be gender inclusive. Celebrating International Women's Day on Joy.
Bertha Lutz was a Brazilian feminist born in 1894. Bertha studied in Europe around the time of the suffragettes in England, and she took a lot of these ideas back with her to Brazil, where she continued to advocate for feminism and, most importantly, women's suffrage. She believed women should have equal opportunity to education and professions outside of the home, which is fairly bread and butter thinking these days, but in 1930s Brazil, these these ideas would have been a lot more radical. In the 1930s, the Brazilian government was drafting a new constitution, and Bertha liaised with politicians to put the issue of women's suffrage on the table. Her efforts paid off, and in 1934, the right for women to vote in Brazil was formally enshrined in the country's constitution. Bertha attended the United Nations conference in 1945, in which only 3% of the delegates were women. Bertha delivered a speech at the conference where she said, "There will never be an unbreakable peace in the world until the women help to make it."
Made a wrong turn once or twice, dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, this place misunderstood. Misknowing it's all good, it didn't slow me down. Mistaken, always second guessing. Underestimated, look, I'm still around. Pretty, pretty, please, don't you ever, ever feel like you're less than so mean,
so mean.
When you talk,
when you talk
about yourself, you were wrong. Change the voices,
change the voices
in your head,
in your head.
Make them lie.
Swallow the fear. The only thing I should be drinking is an ice cold beer. So cool in line, and we try, but we try too hard, and it's a waste of my time. Done looking for the critics, cause they're everywhere. They don't like my jeans, they don't get my hair. Exchange ourselves, and we do it all the time. Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Yeah!
Listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
That was a young inspirational lady. That was Bella that was in our studios probably about two and a half years ago, a young trans girl.
Aww.
And she filled the studio with joy, and she had the most lovely, just the most lovely demeanor. She was in with her twin brother and her mum sitting by her side. And it's International Women's Day, so we're talking about women of all ages and from everywhere. And I sat in awe of this 10-year-old girl. And so that was Bella.
The joy of trans kids is so contagious because, I know, they've had a bit of a, you know, rough trot to begin with, and then suddenly you open the gates and say, hey, you're allowed to live and be your best self, and they just go, yes.
Yeah.
And it's infectious.
I would imagine it would be infectious, and being around, like, I found her inspirational, and I think to be inspired by young people. Often teenagers get a bad rap, you know, the youth of today and kids of today. It really bothers me, and I said that a lot on air. It really bothers me. But there are young women out there marching to the beat of their own drum, and it gives me great hope for the country and the world. And I know that sounds corny and cliche. And somebody that we're going to hear from in a second, and the reason we played that song was Pink, and she made a speech to her daughter at a music awards, which we can listen to in a second. But
Miranda. Yeah, I just want to talk for a moment. Like a few years ago, I worked for a really brilliant NGO, which did feminist education for Australia and around the world for predominantly high school kids and first, second year uni students. And it was this amazing experience because, you know, like, you know, teenagers do get a bad rap.
And we think
of them as, like, you know, apathetic and lethargic.
Yeah.
And they do need a bit more sleep because they're still growing.
Of course they do.
But, you know, that's just, you know, a natural part of progression. But they still have enthusiasm. And going up, you know, I had this amazing experience of going and talking about different issues, intersectionality, all of this good stuff, and watching these young minds just drink it up and wanting to know more and asking questions. They were all there of their own volition. You know, it wasn't some, you know, mandatory classroom. And that's brilliant. So it's the young people who give me hope, young women especially, because I think young women aren't constrained by the same sort of lessons that you and I had.
No, and I'm a wee bit older than you, Miranda, so almost not a full whole generation older, but a little bit older. And I've seen drastic change where I used to work before. My son's 24, so we're talking about 26 years ago.
Yeah,
I worked in a car dealership workshop, and we had the very first female mechanic. And I won't say her surname, but her first name was Debbie, and she was this tiny little petite girl, and she was in an all male environment other than myself. But my boss was very, very inclusive. It wasn't that typical male motor mechanic-y mindset. He was very, very broad-minded, and he loved the fact that he had Melbourne's very first female motor mechanic, and she was interviewed on the radio a few times as well. But the funny thing is that she would never complain. She never complained that it was hot standing under cars, under a hoist with these engines running, and she was this tiny little thing, but she had these fiercely strong arms.
And she wasn't the fragile petite
stereotype. No, she was, but she was a tiny little thing. In fact, the overalls, the smallest size of overalls, she had to roll up four or five times. But she was inspiring to me because she was in an all-male environment, plus it was a very blokey industry. Didn't stop her.
I know so many short girls who are just so powerful because they have like 10 feet crammed into them.
Yeah, like firecrackers.
Anyways,
huh?
on Inspiring Women, we were playing Pink just before, and that track that we heard before was effin' perfect. I can't say the full name on air at this time slot. F.ian perfect, which is about, you know, telling someone, it's like, hey, you're not a mess up, you're a screw up, you're actually perfect. Which really echoes the sentiments of, well, you know, I might let you introduce this, Michelle.
Get your tissues ready. Pink made a speech. She was awarded a Michael Jackson Memorial sort of award at the Music Awards last year, and she gets up, it's only a couple of minutes, and she speaks, she thanks everyone, and then she speaks directly to her daughter, and it gives me goosebumps even now as I'm introducing it. And I just think this is a message of love and empowerment and a beautiful, beautiful message for any woman of any age. Hit it, Miranda.
Recently I was driving my daughter to school, and she said to me out of the blue, Mama, I said, yes, baby. She said, I'm the ugliest girl I know. And I said, huh? And she was like, yeah, I look like a boy with long hair. And my brain went to, oh my God, you're six. Why? Where is this coming from? Who said this? Can I kick a six-year-old's ass? Like, what? But I didn't say anything. And instead, I went home and I made a PowerPoint presentation for her. And in that presentation were androgynous rock stars and artists that live their truth, are probably made fun of every day of their life, and carry on and wave their flag. I said, well, what do you think I look like? And she said, well, you're beautiful. And I was like, well, thanks. But I said, when people make fun of me, that's what they use. They say that I look like a boy, or I'm too masculine, or I have too many opinions. My body is too strong. And I said to her, I said, do you see me growing my hair? She said, no, mama. I said, do you see me changing my body? No, mama. Do you see me changing the way I present myself to the world? No, mama. Do you see me selling out arenas all over the world? Yes, mama. Okay. So, baby girl, we don't change. We take the gravel and the shell and we make a pearl. And we help other people to change so that they can see more kinds of beauty. And to all the artists here, I'm so inspired by all of you. Thank you for being your true selves and for lighting the way for us. I'm so inspired by you guys. There's so much rad happening right now in music. And keep doing it. Keep shining for the rest of us to see. And you, my darling girl, are beautiful. And I love you. Thank you, MTV.
I can't help but be brought to tears. I have heard that a dozen times. And it impacts me the same way every time.
It never lessens.
Because,
so many women... I mean, what you said before, that you have a generation on top of me, nearly. But, it's still something that echoes over time.
Yeah.
And it's still echoing now. There's still some work to go, but we're seeing over time the restraints coming off women.
Yeah.
And we see women moving forward. And it makes me so excited to hear something like that and to think what Pink's daughter might grow up into.
Yeah, I know. And Pink, she's got a little boy, I think 6 months old, something like that, might be wrong. But she's raising them gender neutral.
Mm.
I mean, and that's a whole other discussion as well. But I think she's, Pink's music is not my favourite music, but I don't...
Pink
love
the person.
Pink the person. And yeah. I think this is where it takes... Sometimes maybe it's harder... Harder to be stronger and to lead, and I think it's easier to drag people down. And women and the sisterhood are some of the worst offenders. I mean, even in when my son was little, and then we had a mother's group, and there's this sense of from some mums to other mums, oh, yours isn't, your daughter is not walking yet. Oh, mine's been working for a month. Oh, you're still doing this. Oh, I'm not. It's this negativity and it's not praise. And I think we default sometimes, women, because we're comparing ourselves. I don't know what it is. And it's a negativity that really surrounds a lot of environments.
I actually have a really wonderful anecdote for you, Michelle.
Mm.
So when I was transitioning about 10 years ago and I was discovering feminism and sisterhood and all of this great stuff, there was a really great excitement about the idea of women helping women and women supporting women. And it seemed like a revolutionary idea to me. And I got really excited for all of the women in my life. And I'm pretty sure 99% of my friends are women. Like, I think I know a couple of guys and you're cool because... any guy that I know has to be cool because I have such ridiculously high standards.
Yes, you do.
But here I am and I'm talking to my mom and I'm telling her about this idea of, women helping women. And I was really sad because she said to me, it's like, no, but women cut each other down. That's the culture of women. And that was so normal for her.
Yeah.
And I explained to her, it's like, that's patriarchy, mom.
Mm.
That's what we're working against now. Mm. And... it still has the dying embers going on. I know we're really moving forward and just getting women excited about each other is just such a sea change in our culture now that I really love it. And just, and mothers supporting their daughters.
Oh, it's huge. But also now I've only got one child and it's just, a boy, and I never knew when he was young, I didn't know he was gay. So I always was very, very mindful of saying... positive things about women, and that if he had a girlfriend, you know, this is what you're going to make sure you don't do this and don't say this. Because I didn't, you know, in early days. And positive sexual health, you know, positive mental health messages, all of that stuff. If you want support of women, you've also got to create great men and young men. So we have to make sure as women that we can, I think, sometimes you have to include them in that ride partially, because women need strong allies in the sisterhood, and you also need, at times, you need men that will stand, you know, in any minority, you need to have allies in that, in those communities, you know.
Here's one thing I love to point out, like, you know, as a feminist, I've often had it thrown in my face and said that I think men are dogs. And I'm like, no, I don't think men are dogs. I actually think they're people who are capable of self-control and reason and empathy and compassion. If I actually thought men were dogs, when they hurt someone, you know, you'd send them off to the pound or something like that. But I'm not actually saying that for men. I'm saying men, you know, where feminists say men be better, because we know men can be better.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if the dialogue, inspirational people, positive thoughts, all of that sort of stuff. And I know it's simple sometimes, but it doesn't have to be complicated. We have had a message in from Boyd. He sends his love. I celebrate my mother every day, an amazing woman, widowed at 34 with four boys under eight. Me, only 8 weeks old. I had everything I needed and more. I have an amazing life thanks to the values bestowed on me from her. Soon we'll be celebrating the 78th year. She made this world a better place. Happy International Women's Day, Davina. Love, Boyd. That's beautiful. And this is a woman that's inspired a man. And that's the stuff that touches me.
International Women's Day, there is a focus on mothers, because mothers have, you know, I once heard someone say, women don't, like, you know, mothers don't need jobs because mothers already have a job, everything. But women in the workplace, like, you know, even mothers is vital. But we, you know, absolutely there's a focus on motherhood, because being a mother, your job is everything, you know, and it's 24/7. And, you know, even though it's socially prescribed and some women are better at it than others, you know, like, we've managed to endure this as a cultural norm for God knows how long. And so, like, you know, props to all the mothers out there. just everybody.
We're combining Mother's Day, Women's Day together. Well, like,
yeah. You know, Women's Day, Mother's Day actually has similar origins to International Women's Day.
Well, young lady, I was going to suggest perhaps we talk about some of the origins of International Women's Day and some amazing women.
We might come do back. That.
We'd love to hear from you. Send us a message, 0427JOY949, or send us an email on air@joy.org.au. Who inspires you? Are you an inspiration to someone? Has someone told you today or ever that you're an inspiration to them? We'd love to hear from you. Miranda and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. It is Michelle, the lovely Miranda in the studio with me, pushing buttons, doing a bit of chair dancing and cameras aren't here.
I love a good chair dance.
So do I.
I like to think it translates over the, you know, the sound of my voice.
They can see you moving away from the microphone like this.
That's unprofessional, Michelle.
So Stand Up Straight history lesson now.
We do have a bit of a history lesson going on, because we're talking about the history of International Women's Day. And some might argue that it has been a bit sanitized in recent times. Maybe you'll agree when you learn a bit more about the history of International Women's Day. The earliest known observance of a Women's Day was on February 28, 1909 in New York City, organized by the Socialist Party of America. And it wasn't until 1910, where inspired by socialists, that a group came together and decided to establish an International Women's Day. And it was seconded by another group of international socialists. And, you know, it had that real sort of left kind of momentum behind it that was really cool. And then on March 19, 1911, International Women's Day was marked for the first time. And it featured
in a lot
over
of countries.
In a lot of countries, yeah. 1 million people in Austria, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, and so much more. Like in the Austro-Hungarian Empire alone, there were 300 demonstrations, and women demanded to be given the right to vote, to be elected to public office. There was also a lot of it also has really strong roots in, you know, the union and labour campaigns.
Yeah, and the rights to work and all of that sort of stuff.
Because women's labour has always been traditionally undervalued in society. And, you know, we think like, you know, well, you know, women are going to do this anyway, so let's only pay them half.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and we saw this sort of thing happening. Like, you know, like it was women who got together in 1917, you know, in the Russian capital of Petrograd, and textile workers demonstrated, and they were pushing what would eventually become the Russian Revolution. Women in St. Petersburg went on strike for the Day of Bread and Peace, demanding the end to World War I.
It's 101 years ago. Like, that's extraordinary.
And they wanted to end food shortages and the end of Tsarism. And it was, and, you know, here's the funny thing. A week later, the Emperor of Russia, Nicholas II, abdicated, and the provisional government granted women the right to vote.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you know,
the courage, though, then, you know, and how do they organise? Now you can put something out on social media and you get a group of people together, quick, smart. But, I mean, to organise that kind of thing, even the, you know, they find that extraordinary.
Yeah. And then, you know, like there was a momentum from there. Like, you know, International Women's Day was celebrated by communists in China in 1992. The United Nations began celebrating International Women's Day in 1975, which was also the International Year of the Girl.
Oh.
And in 1977, the United Nations General Assembly invited member states to proclaim March 8 as the UN Day for Women's Rights and World Peace. And it's not May. Well, it is the 8th today. I'm not paying attention to the calendar.
That's definitely the 8th, isn't it?
But, you know, this year's theme of International Women's Day is actually The Time Is Now, Rural and Urban Activists Transforming Women's Lives. And we actually have heard some urban activists down on the street chanting, and it warms your heart.
Yeah. And I think there's, as I said earlier, I think there is a shift in people's mindsets. I think for the little quiet, you know, woman that doesn't feel she has a voice, she might actually hear out on the streets or on the TV or in books or in, you know, media, whatever, that her story is she's not on her own, she's not alone. And I think that's part of it. It's because, you know, social media gets a bad rap, and it often is, it can be pretty horrid and hurtful, but it's really lovely to read the inspirational stuff that's out there. And I know if I'm having a yucky day, I'll go and find something that's warms the cockles of my heart.
Aww.
Yes. You are listening to Michelle and Miranda on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We have Miranda and Michelle in the studio. We're talking about International Women's Day. There, we could talk, and as has happened on Joy throughout today, endlessly. There is there's no shortage of finding inspiration. There's a couple that there's two women in Australia that I wanted to mention. Fiona Patten, she's Australian politician. She's the leader of the Reason Party and has a seat in Victorian Legislative Council representing the Northern Metropolitan Region. She established the Sex Party in 2009, focused on personal freedoms after deep frustration with stagnation on censorship freedom, marriage equality, and on drug law reform. Before entering politics, Fiona Patten was the CEO of Australia's National Adult Industry Association, IROS Association. She campaigned sexual rights and health movements for more than 20 years, particularly in the HIV and AIDS sector, after initially starting out as a small business owner with her own fashion label. In 2009, Fiona founded the Australian Sex Party and consolidated a support base of disenchanted voters campaigning for the realisation of civil liberties, sexual liberation, marriage equality, and drug law reform.
Props to her for getting out there and doing the work that needs to be done.
And she is a very, very hard-working person. She is the major force, or the Reason Party major force, in the trial of the safe injecting rooms in Richmond. And I know it's not everybody's for it, but it takes great courage to stand behind your convictions and not be beaten down by an awful lot of opposition.
And it's a really great thing too, because a lot of voters, And, you know, I speak as one of them. I think it would be safe to say feel very disillusioned with the nature of government right now, which are conservative and right-wing conservative. And, you know, like kind of want some more, you know, less hysterical sort of conversation going
on.
And
real people? I have this sense, it's not a political show, but I have this sense that they're not, that I don't have people out there that are real, that are believable. Fiona Patton feels that way to me. And I think that this is why she's making change, because and successfully making change, because people believe her and she is genuine. And I think that's what makes an inspirational woman. I think,
like
too.
Her or hate her, she is definitely a woman who has gotten out there and made an effort.
Yeah, and I think that's, and you know, we're in an environment now where perhaps it's a lot more the environment is more conducive to these types of changes. There's a young lady that I know is a bit of an inspiration to you, Jazz Jennings.
I love Jazz.
Tell us why.
Jazz Jennings, I feel at first, you know, because she was a very small child when a media outlet came to her and decided to really, you know, it was kind of when the explosion of stories of trans children were really happening in the media, probably about 10 or so years ago. Yeah. And they jumped on this girl who was just so genuine and so sweet and wonderful. And while I have mixed feelings about children, like, you know, real life children being pulled into the spotlight and the way she has, Jazz has done it with such gusto and with such openness and with confidence, and she has made herself vulnerable in this way in telling her story and in just being open about it and appearing in all media where she's been invited. It's hard to see her as anything but, you know, brave and wonderful and just.
But
you know,
she is brave.
She is brave. And sometimes, you know, and it's really difficult when we're talking about the narrative of bravery around trans people, because, you know, like, you know, yeah, we are brave, but often that bravery is kind of foisted on us. And we have to be brave because the alternative is to shrink into ourselves.
Yeah.
I think Jazz actually, though, has had a lot of opportunities to walk away from the limelight and to walk away from the barrage of hate, which she does receive sometimes. But, you know, that hate is the least of her. And she has her friends, she has her family, she has all the love in the world. And, you know, and she's open to it. And that's why I, you know, like, you know, here's this teenage girl, you know, who's talking about these complex ideas, you know, in a nuanced way that, you know, most adults have never even thought of.
And she doesn't give you a barrage. She gives you this nice, gentle, but confident way of being. She's not angry, and
she exists without compromise.
Yeah, she's a gorgeous young girl. Yeah, so there's inspirational women everywhere
of all ages.
Yeah, Janet Mock is somebody that. Oh my gosh, Miranda's
my beating
faint.
Heart.
Yes, Janet Mock was in Australia late last year for the Melbourne Writers Festival, and I went and saw her, and my tears flew. I couldn't help it. There are people that inspire every fiber of your being, and I'm not going to use the word brave, because she is the truest person to her truest self that I have ever experienced. And I read her book after that as well. She is somebody.
She has incredible resolve, is
resolve,
what I would say.
And she has a belief in herself, and she has never let anybody keep her down. She was pushed down by read her book, Realness, is that what it's
called? Redefining Realness.
Redefining Realness, and then she has the second book.
And she has an incredible dignity, which is just.
Yeah, and dignity is often lacking sometimes for people, but she holds herself just. She is, if that woman doesn't change your world or rock your world, I don't know who else could.
I'm rocked just thinking about her, honestly.
Yeah. We're going to go for a quick break. You are with Michelle and Miranda on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Michelle and Miranda are on Stand Up Straight here on Joy 94.9, celebrating International Women's Day, and it's really been nice to discover, as we've been talking about tonight, all these women changing the world in big ways and tiny little small ways. So it's quite interesting. You've got, there was World Economic Forum last year, Miranda, I think, that you found some interesting
figures. The World Economic Forum put out their, they put out an annual Global Gender Gap Report, which studies four different criteria of each country in the world, which includes economic participation and opportunity, educational attainment, health and survival, and political empowerment. And there's also around data around the dynamics of gender gaps across countries, across talent pools and occupation. And this data shows that when women present more and are participating in leadership roles, that we see more women hired across the board on all levels. And this detail holds true even when taking into consideration the disparities of size of female talent pools across all these different industries. And, you know, we've got some, you know, and, you know, like in talking in these, you know, like in each country is ranked from 1 to 144.
Do we want to know where Australia is or not?
Australia is 35.
Out of
144. Which is okay, I guess.
It's okay.
But we could always do better.
Of course we can.
Even Iceland in number one has work to do because it only sits at about 87% gender parity across the board. And we only have 73 here in Australia. But, you know, they also rank on different arenas. Like, you know, we're up among the top when it comes to women in education, literacy, you know, and this breaks it down, you know, primary, secondary and tertiary education as well. We're right up the top and our women in Australia are incredibly educated. And that's, you know, that's wonderful. Economically, women only have about, you know, access to sort of about, you know, 50-60% of, you know, the, you know, national economy. And that sits around, that ranks about 42nd in the world, 56, you know, in labor force participation as well, 62 when it comes to wage equality. But perhaps what's the most jarring for me is health and survival. And we're all the way down to the 104.
Around
104. And this is
what category was that again?
This was health and survival.
Health and survival.
Now, when it comes to sex ratio at birth, like, you know, the number of, you know, male versus, you know, assigned male versus assigned female births, we're about equal. It's about 50-50. But, you know, in terms of health and survival, like, you know, it's really, there's a high mortality rate. We die young. Most of this is probably connected to the Indigenous community because, you know, we like, you know, and I'm sure, you know, our friends Indie Dreaming, you know all about this and they'll tell us it all. But, you know, we know that Indigenous people in rural communities, you know, will possibly only have a life expectancy of 40.
Now, in this, we're talking about 2018, not 1918. I think people forget that.
We're talking the here and now. And these figures were taken from last year. In terms of political empowerment and women being represented in parliament, we're sitting about 48. Like, it's only 20%.
Jeez.
At the very most. So it's a lot bit disturbing, if we're being completely honest. But this is what International Women's Day is about. It's about bringing these facts forward, and it's about acknowledging what we need to do, and it's about taking those steps.
And seeing these figures, sometimes facts and figures are what we need to hear. Sometimes it's a little bit of a reality check. We have had a message come in from Joe, and I apologise, Amy, we are a little bit shorter with our program tonight. Joe has sent in something that's quite a bit disturbing. Hi, everyone, enjoying the show. I thought I would share with you something that was said to me today that was very disappointing, considering it is International Women's Day. I was told that it is up to a girl's parents to educate girls about safety around boys because boys will be boys. I find that really sad and sexist, wrong, and so much more. We still have a long way to go.
My favourite feminist phrase is boys will be held accountable for their actions.
A lot better than boys will be boys. But that's giving permission. That kind of statement just gives boys permission because that's their get out of jail free card, that kind of comment. It's awful. I agree, Joe, 100%. That music means we're nearly at the end of the hour.
It does.
It's sad. Miranda, it's been lovely having you in the studio. You are an inspirational woman to me, and
well, you're an inspirational woman to me, and I'm not just saying that.
No, I'm not just saying that either, but you are lovely to be around, and I wish more people could get to know you. And you know, and maybe we as women need to say, hey, I like you, I like being with you, and we need to get used to saying this to other women.
I love this, that women can be each other's heroes.
Yeah,
that we
absolutely
don't have to look at celebrities, we don't have to we don't have to look at TV, that we have each other and we can inspire each other. Mm. Women helping women is what it's all about.
Absolutely agree. And there's a lovely sense of change in the air, I think. I think a lot more people are feeling that way.
There is. I'm excited.
I'm excited too, Miranda. Thank you for joining me tonight. We'll be back on air next Thursday. Who knows what's going to happen? It's crazy. You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Good night, Miranda. Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.